Fit Nation. It's Fit Nation. It's Fit Nation.
Awesome.
The way your fingers fit mine is 5 plus 5, not a rocket science. This day and time, that's hard to find, it's true. The road we're on in a traffic jam, it's a sunny drive on a piece of land. It's paradise as long as I'm with you. It's like 1, 2, 3, just as easy as can be. Just the way you look at me, you make me smile. Ain't no need to complicate it, we both know that's overrated. We've been there, it's safe to say it ain't our style. It's just that simple, S-I-M-P-L-E, simple as can be. It's just that simple, S-I-M-P-L-E, simple as can be. We used to live on Instagram, worried about who all gives a damn about where we've been.
If you're a veteran, if you're struggling, or feel like you're leading a path towards darkness, stop and think about those who are around you. Think about how they truly value you, how they will miss you. You are not alone. You need to talk to someone. Someone will listen to you. If you feel like you'll be a burden to someone or feel embarrassed, call the hotline at 988 and press option 1. For those who are new, the hotline has changed. It's now 988. And just press option 1 and it'll take care of you. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you're a new listener, thanks for joining us. Please subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast apps to include the Military Broadcast Radio app. And check out our family of shows there. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. That's @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell. That way you'll be up to date with all our latest news, episodes, and of course, stories of our great guests. Speaking of which, our next guest is a best-selling American author, professional speaker, and former U.S. Army combat engineer, an adventure seeker, and self-proclaimed test subject for peak social, mental, and physical development. In 2020, he released his much-anticipated book, Roger Up. So without further ado, let's welcome Army veteran Brent Magnuson to the Misfit Nation. Welcome, Brent.
Yes, sir. Good to be on. Thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate the time.
And I'm glad we finally get to get this thing going. I know we had to reschedule at least once in the past because of my side. And today we barely made it because you were running a little on it, but we know it's a busy world and we both have a busy schedule. So I'm glad this is, we get this thing going, and I get one of my brothers in service on here to talk about their great story and all the things they're doing in the world today. So Brent, if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about yourself from as far back as you want to go to where we are now.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on. To all your listeners, my name is Brent Magnuson. I was born and raised about 20 minutes outside of Chicago. That was back before things got real crazy like they are now. After high school, kind of knew at a young age I was going to be in the military. Vast majority of the men in my family had served in the military in various branches. Knew I wanted to get a gun and go do some good for God and country. So enlisted in the Army. I was a combat engineer. First deployment was to Bosnia in 98. It went from there. After the Army, did some contracting. And after that, got into executive protection, which I still do today. Executive protection, or personal protection, as we call it. Anything from royal families to high net worth people. And I don't really do much of the celebrity world, but pretty much been working with dignitaries, royal families, and high net worth people. And it's fun. I still get to get after it at 46 years old and feel like I'm still contributing, even though after a good amount of surgeries, I still can't run and gun like I used to at 22. But yeah, so I enjoy that. And then I'm also entrepreneurial with the book and obviously the Roger Up event, the first big event that we're doing September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd here in Chicago. And yeah, besides that, I'm just a guy that loves America, loves capitalism, and loves being on shows like this, spreading a positive vibe, and just trying to encourage people like I try to encourage myself every day to try and get 1% better every day. And it's a grind and it's a struggle, but just got to put in the work and hopefully we'll all get there.
It's awesome, Brent. It's a great backstory, your family, a great lineage of service, of course. And of course, you kept that lineage going as you went in. You just brought up the first Roger Up event. Let's talk about that a little bit. September 1st through 3rd in Chicago. So tell us what that's all about and how people can get involved with that with you.
Yeah, so it started with the book I wrote called Roger Up. And it's obviously on my shirt. So Roger Up is a term I first heard in the U.S. Army. I was on an 18-mile ruck. And it was timed. And about 2 weeks prior, we had done a 12-mile ruck timed. So we were on an 18-mile ruck timed. I was a young E3. I think I was 20. And I was 6'1", 6'1½", and 160 pounds. I was a twig. And besides the 35 or 40 pounds on my back, I was also carrying the M60, which is about 21.8 pounds. Let's call it 22 pounds. So needless to say, my skinny ass was struggling. And at mile 14, with 4 miles to go, I broke down. And for the first time in my life, aside from wrestling, aside from martial arts, and aside from soccer, I pretty much quit. And I just said, that's it. That's all I got. And my platoon sergeant stopped by casually and said, Maggie, you need to Roger the fuck up. Let's go. And he walked the last 4 miles with me. And that was a defining moment. That was in 1999. Ish 98, and ever since then, that term has been like brainwashed and ingrained in my brain. So whenever I've had tough times in my life or challenges, or others have, I've just kind of blended that Roger Up mantra. And everyone has their own way. It's man up, woman up, you know, suck it up, embrace the suck. You see all the t-shirts, but Roger Up always stuck with me. And not too long ago, I went to a good friend of mine, who also wrote the foreword to my book, retired Navy SEAL, Jason Redman, who has an incredible backstory himself. 2007 in Karma, they came under heavy gunfire. He was hit twice in the arm. One round came in behind his ear, took half his face off. Somehow that guy is still handsome and still kicking ass at the highest level. He's no more in the SEAL teams, but he's one of the busiest speakers I know, and New York Times bestselling author, and just out there crushing it. I asked him to partner with me on this event. And that's what we want to do. We just want to bring a positive vibe in this crazy woke, you know, no consequences for bad people, all kinds of nonsense going on world. We just want to bring that that realist, that sheepdog mindset that, you know, you can really accomplish anything you set your mind to. And even though you think you're at your breaking point, you actually have a lot more left in the gas tank. We want to show people how to dive into that extra reserve that they don't even know they have, and just give them more tools for their proverbial tool belt to go out and deal with all the crazy things in this life that we deal with. So we've got a great lineup of speakers. We've got former SEALs, former MARSOC Marines. We've got amazing speakers on emotional intelligence. And each morning we'll have PT with retired SEALs. It'll be at your own pace. The purpose isn't to break you. And then each night we'll have Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, again, at your own pace with Black Belt World Champions, showing you the basics for someone who's never done it. And for the guys and gals that have been training, we'll break off into a separate room and you'll be able to get some. And throughout the day, we'll have, again, fantastic speakers, breakout workshops. And the whole goal is just to get everyone a little out of their comfort zone and more singularly focused on their success. And really excited about it. And tickets are selling good. And we still have tickets available. And it's an exciting, a stressful, but an exciting endeavor. And yeah, I'm just excited that so many people have come together and want to be a part of it. And yeah, we're a month away. So pretty excited.
That's outstanding. And that's the good stress, though, the stress for doing something good and trying to provide that better, like you said, be 1% better every day. You're trying to help those other people, the people that are joining this, the Rod Trump event, to be 1% better in their lives each day and probably further on down the line and maybe pass it off to those in their communities and such like that. And I think it's a great thing. I like that you're incorporating morning PT, and that's part of like a morning ritual for a lot of us old guys. You have to do certain things every morning. How important is a morning ritual to get you going every day?
I'm obsessed with morning routines. The whole first chapter of my book is not just my obsession with morning routines, but kind of highlighting some of the unique people throughout history's morning routines that I found fascinating, whether it's Tony Robbins or Beethoven, who, as I drink black coffee out of my Jason Redman, get off the X mug, Beethoven was so obsessed with his morning routine that he felt 60 coffee beans, which in today's terms is a psychotic amount of coffee. So I'm sure Beethoven's neighbors were, if they weren't annoyed with all the music, I'm sure they were annoyed with his antics. But every single morning he would hand count 60 coffee beans, not 58, not 63, 60 every morning, on top of all the other things that some people would call crazy, but what I call beautifully obsessive, because he was so consistent and so disciplined every morning. And I think when you're at that level of brilliance, you have to have some level of madness. Same with a guy like Tony Robbins or Grant Cardone or Tim Ferriss or some of these, Napoleon Hill, some of these fascinating people whose morning routines I dug into. Jocko Willink's another guy who's, these people are so regimented. I don't know what they're doing the rest of the day. Some of them I have a pretty good idea, but what I do know is all these successful people that I follow and all these successful people that I try to surround myself with, which I call my circle of influence. And I tell people all the time, you know, who are the five people you spend the most time with? Not your family, not your kids, your parents, but the five people you spend the most time with. There's a very good chance your income, your happiness, all the rest of that stuff is the average of those five people. And if you're hanging around with five guys that spend more time in the bar than they do in the gym, it's only a matter of time till you're number six. If you're hanging around with five guys or five gals that are all broke, it's only a matter of time till you're number six. And by leveling up and hanging around and getting around people that have what you want, that are doing what you want to do at a high level, it forces you to level up. And it forces the people around you to either A, level up with you, or B, they'll just fire themselves from your circle. So the morning routine for me is consistent with all these people that I want to surround myself with. And all of them have, again, whatever they do the rest of the day is on them. But I noticed that all of them take the first 30 to 60 minutes of their day more serious than any other part of the day, because it sets the tone for the rest of the day. So how you start your day, we know tons of people that wake up out of bed and they're already negative. You probably have one living in your house with you, or maybe you're one of your family members is that way. The second they get out of bed, they're negative, they're complaining, they go downstairs, they get coffee, they put 8 pounds of sugar in it, a bunch of other crap. Then they rush out, try to get some crappy fast food. They might get to work on time. They're already negative, and that's how their day started. But the people that I try to surround myself with and the people that I want my morning routine to reflect are positive and they're doing healthy things and they're getting wins. You know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but I know, and I love the brainwashing and the indoctrination process that the Army gave me. We used to scream at the top of our lungs almost every morning in basic training for 9 weeks. We do more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day. Hoo-ah. And for the first couple of days, I thought all these people were nuts. But after 9 weeks, I was drinking the Kool-Aid by the flipping bucket, and I was loving it. And it's true. And when you accomplish more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day, man, it separates you from the pack. And it really gives you perspective on how valuable our time is and how much you can actually accomplish during the day if you just focus on the things you can control. So for me, morning routine is everything.
That's outstanding. I like to call it starting the stack of your victories in the morning. So you wake up, start stacking the victories, and by the end of the day, like you said, that 1% better every day. How many victories did I have today? 15. Yesterday I had 14. This is a much better day for me. So now I move on to tomorrow and see if I can beat that without hurting myself, of course.
Because I like that, stacking victories. Full disclaimer, that may be stolen and put in the next book. So I'm putting it out publicly right now.
Just give some credit to Misfit Nation when you're on the show.
Yeah, Misfit Nation, stacking victories. I'm writing that down.
All right. Outstanding. And I like how you have the importance on the circle of influence. And it was also important in your book, Roger Up, Circle of Influence. How did you come to find that the circle of influence was that important?
So in 2009, I had a pretty rough year. I just finished up contracting not too long before that and had officially 100% committed to and settled into the civilian world. And I'd taken a sales and consulting job that I was probably tremendously underqualified for, but they hired me because I was former military. So there's a lot of benefit to being former military and being a pretty good bullshit artist, which I was like really good at the time. And I kept bringing up that I was a veteran. So I think that's what got me hired. But what I noticed in corporate America was a lot of people were hanging out with the same people and it seemed like they were getting the same results. And from a sales or consulting perspective, I noticed that even though I may not have liked them personality-wise, when I started surrounding myself with the people that were making the most money, I noticed that my level of income and my sales went up. So in 2009, I lost my mom to cancer. I came back to Las Vegas where I was living. After 118 years in business, my company filed corporate bankruptcy. And I found out the chick I was dating and living with wasn't, we'll say, as honest as she should have been. So in a 3-week period, I lost my mom, my job, and my chick. And that had kind of sent me spiraling. I started drinking more than I should have. I started taking zero care of myself. Morning routine went out the door. I couldn't even spell the word fitness or gym. And by the end of the year, I'd put on a ton of weight and was depressed and was just not me. And I was so disgusted. I didn't even have mirrors in my house. I was so disgusted to look who I was. And one night, I was watching TV like a lot of people do that can't sleep at 2 a.m. And Tony Robbins came on and I bought the whole lot, all the CDs and DVDs he was selling, I bought. And I went all in. I mean, all flipping in because I was pretty bad off. I was heading down a dark path. I was having some bad thoughts. And when you're that deep, you know, going towards that Mariana Trench, the deepest place on earth where there's no light, there's no nothing. And especially when you've got so much stuff bottled up from your past that you haven't talked about and you haven't been healthy about it and you're doing all the wrong things, but you're in survival mode, so you don't know you're doing the wrong things. Tony Robbins really gave me perspective. So fast forward a year later, and I decided to do an MMA fight. This is in 2010. I was still 33. I'd been training jiu-jitsu. My t-shirt company was sponsoring some jiu-jitsu guys and some Muay Thai guys and a few UFC guys. And I always heard about the walk, not to fight, but I heard about the walk from backstage to the cage and how that walk, you question everything. You question, did I diet right? Did I train enough? Did I skip workouts? Did I drink alcohol or did I not drink enough water? All those things I heard you question. So I wanted to experience that walk before I got too old. And I felt like at 33, I was still prime enough to do an amateur MMA fight. So in training for that fight, I was training at two spots. And at that time, Chuck Liddell, the former UFC light heavyweight champion, much like Bill Clinton, Andre Agassi, Mother Teresa, and Oprah before him, hired Tony Robbins to be his mental coach as he was prepping for a fight with Wanderlei Silva. And I just happened to be training twice a week at the tap out gym that Chuck was at. And as I was walking out and pretending to buy some hand wraps from the really hot receptionist there, again, professional bullshit artist, in walks Tony Robbins, all 6'8", the big personality, the deep voice, the guy from Shallow Hal, everything you expect with his, you know, two or three assistants or whatever. And here was this guy who has no idea that he was partially responsible for saving my life. I had to take the action and actually do what he talks about on all those DVDs and CDs, but this guy was tremendously responsible for dragging me out of a really dark place. And about a month prior to meeting Tony, I had given all of those CDs and DVDs to one of the owners of the Tap Out Gym. So he walks up to Tony Robbins and he says, "Hey, Tony, it's great to meet you. You're such an influential guy. We know you're here to train Chuck. I just want to let you know, from a business owner perspective, I listened to all your CDs and DVDs, and it works. And everything I'm gobbling up from you is fantastic. And I just need you to know," and he points to me, "I got them from this guy, and this guy doesn't shut up about you." So in front of about 15 people, Tony Robbins looks over at me, he goes, "So you're the guy giving all my shit away for free." And everyone laughs. I shook his hand. He's got these big paws, and it's like shaking hands with a grizzly bear. And I'm nervous. And I don't usually get nervous around other grown men. But he's an intimidating guy because he has no idea what he did for me. And he's done that for so many people. And he was gracious enough with his time to thank me for sharing his, you know, CDs with someone. And, you know, hyping him up, as he said, and he pulled me off to the side for about 3 minutes. And it was the best 3 minute conversation I've ever had with anyone in my life. And the focus of that 3 minutes was, you know, who you surround yourself with is everything. Your network is your net worth. Invest in the people around you, and that ROI will come back 10 times from them. And ever since then, I had never even heard of Circle of Influence. And ever since then, I've really focused in on and almost been obsessed with who I surround myself with consistently. And that's a long story, but that's where it comes from. Not to mention, it's pretty cool to say you met Tony Robbins and like had a conversation with him. That's one of my few claims to fame, if it's even that.
and he was able to joke about you giving away his material for free. So, and that's
it was awesome, man. I don't want to meet him again because they say you shouldn't meet your heroes. Right. So I wish him a very long, I hope he hits 110, but I never want to meet him again because that meeting could not have gone any better. And my expectations for the next one are so high that I don't want to be disappointed. So I wish Tony a great life, but the one meeting was enough. I got so much out of that. And one of the rare times where I met one of my heroes and it worked out perfectly.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Great way to show why the Circle of Influence is important and how it came to you. Basically, gift wrapped from him. He came and took you aside and told you that's an amazing piece of advice. So besides Tony, what other mentor has given you great advice?
There were some guys, you know, some older guys, squad leaders, platoon sergeants, some of the leadership when I was in the Army as a young guy, new guy. And even today, some of the people I surround myself with, guys like Jason Redman, even though he's only a couple of years older than me, just what he's been through, not necessarily all the 21 years in the SEAL teams as fantastic as that is. But he just has an interesting perspective on life, and having been so severely wounded and having come out of that as successful as he has. I mean, he wrote his second book, which was also New York Times bestseller, was Overcome. And that's him, man. He's the overcome guy. Like, Jocko's the disciplined guy. Jay is the overcome guy, and he's overcome a tremendous amount, and not just to survive. He has overcome that and thrived. He is one of the busiest speakers I know. And it's like every time, I hope you have someone like that in your life where every time you get off the phone with them, you're in a better mood and you're more positive and you're more jacked up and you're more wanting to live up to a higher standard. And I'm fortunate to have, you know, three or four guys in my phone where, you know, they're harder guys to get a hold of. And I like having people like that in my phone where, you know, it's, you can't just call them randomly. You got to, you know, figure out when you're going to talk. But every time you get off the call with them, you feel like you know yourself better. You might have learned something, but more importantly, you are just better for being on the phone with them. And that's what Jay and a few other people do for me still to this day. So it's so important to have mentors, I think.
Oh, definitely. Mentors and mentorship, being able to give back also, because we can't take what we have and go to the grave with it without sharing. Otherwise, it's just a waste of knowledge that we've learned. So while we're stacking those victories, gathering all that intelligence from our mentors, we also have to spread that wealth as we go forward. Now, I guess we'll transition a little bit here into the Resilient Warrior Foundation. Let's talk a little bit about that, since I know you're a member of the board there, and it's something that's pretty important to you, right? So
yeah.
Let's talk about RWF a little bit.
Got a bunch of patches here, Resilient Warrior Foundation. Yeah, so a good buddy of mine, Matt Davidson, we, years back, we got our purple belts together, and we trained at the same gym with Luis Claudio. Luis was just over the weekend in Juliana Pena's corner. Unfortunately, she did not get the nod against Amanda Nunes in the rematch, but Luis is a phenomenal jiu-jitsu guy, fourth degree black belt under the legendary Hickson Gracie. For those of you that don't know anything about jiu-jitsu, Hickson is basically our sports Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Wayne Gretzky. And Luis is one of his best black belts. So Matt and I met through the gym, and Matt's an Air Force veteran. And he said, "Hey man, I know you're really immersed in the jiu-jitsu world. And I know you're very active in the veteran community." And he said, "We got to find a way to help out our brothers and sisters, because you and I both know what jiu-jitsu's done for us." So I have a nonprofit. It's called Resilient Warrior Foundation. And we sponsor for veterans or first responders with PTSD that they acquired in their service to this amazing country. We want to pay for their jiu-jitsu at any school, in any state in the country. And we're going to pay that bill every month. And we just ask that they show up once or twice a week, train hard, learn as much as they can. And there's tons of research out there. There's tons of research being done. And the bottom line is, when we transition out of the military, regardless of what our job was, but more specifically for guys and gals that were in combat arms, guys and gals that deployed, guys and gals that were in for a longer amount of time, when you get out of the military, you don't have anyone telling you where to be. You don't have anyone telling you what to do. You don't have anyone really holding you accountable. So it's easy to get off course real quick, real fast. It's easy to go to the bottle. It's easy to go to the VA, and trust me, they'll throw more pills at you than they can count, and then you can count. And what jiu-jitsu does in a really beautiful way, not only is it, in my humble opinion, the most effective martial art in the world, but it really teaches you what a lot of people don't realize about jiu-jitsu is it teaches you what the military taught you, but it teaches you in a different way. It reteaches you, depending on how long you've been out or how bad your PTSD is, it reteaches you how to survive. If you've got a 200-pound guy on top of you and you guys are rolling and your only objective is not to get choked out or not to get your arm caught in an arm bar, and this 200-pound gorilla, who may or may not be on performance-enhancing drugs, is sweating all over you and trying to injure you, even though you're training together, and you survive that, you take that home with you, and that carries over into your family life, carries over into your work life. It's reinstilling discipline. It's reinstilling how to survive, how to be resilient, and how to overcome adversity. And the way that helps transfer, the more consistent you are with that training, the way it helps to transfer over into your everyday life, you treat your kids better, you're a better person, and most importantly, you're more confident. and not just more confident in the idea of a potential threat in a physical capacity with someone else, which is a good thing as well, but more confident just in who you are. You notice that you want to start training more. You notice you start looking different because you're losing weight, or you just feel better about yourself because you know you have this tool, almost like you have this superpower that no one knows about. And when you walk down the street, you're not waving some big flag that says, I know jujitsu, I can defend myself. But in here, you have that. And it's an amazing thing. And it really is like having a superpower. And what it does for veterans and what it does for first responders, along with children and women and men of all walks, but specifically what it does for the veteran community is flipping incredible. And it's just, it should almost be like mandatory. Like when they outprod, the military does a great job of training you. They do a great job of everything else. But when you transition out, they still have a lot of work to do on helping you get reacclimated, especially for these guys and gals that did 10, 15, 20 years. And, you know, not everyone gets out as a high-ranking officer. Not everyone gets out as a sergeant major with a big pension. I got plenty of buddies with 7 or 8 deployments that got banged up, and at 13 or 14 years, they're out, and they don't have a pension, and they don't have a retirement, and maybe they have some pay from service connection, but they've got more problems than they have dollars coming in every month, and they need something. Not only that, but most of us guys, we need a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, we need a challenge, and jujitsu is important. And most people in this world are not used to someone putting their hands on you and trying to do something to you. And most people aren't comfortable with that. And when you become comfortable with that, it changes your whole perspective on the world. And I could go on and on about it, but at the end of the day, it's resilientwarriorfoundation.org. If you are a veteran or a first responder, or you know a veteran that needs help, that needs something like I just described, please go on the site, please send us an email. And I don't care if you are in Jackson, Mississippi, Nashville, Tennessee, or someplace in some state I've never been or don't know, we will get you. We got people in Idaho where there's more elk and moose than there are people training. And that's nothing against Idaho. It's a great place. And it's cheaper to hunt elk there than it is in Montana, by the way. But wherever you're at, whatever you need, we want to be able to take care of you, and we want you to enjoy all the benefits that jiu-jitsu has. So check out the website. And if you don't know anyone, and if you yourself don't need those services, I would humbly ask that you make a donation, because no one on our board takes a single dollar. Every single dollar goes towards paying for the jiu-jitsu for these veterans and the small overhead costs that we have in running the nonprofit. So yeah, it's an amazing thing. And I'm just so humbled to be a part of it, because it's really a great way to give back.
I can tell you're jacked up about it, and your passion for it's amazing. It made me think of all the times rolling around doing combatives in the gyms here at Fort Campbell, or even deployed just to take off steam while on a deployment. Combatives was a way to break that, and that was also introduced by the Gracie family to the U.S. Army, which it was a great start away from the hand-to-hand stuff we did early 90s when we both were in early days. We used to do the hand-to-hand and reaction drills, basically. That's what I call them, hand-to-hand.
Yeah.
I think combatives took a lot of that to a better level, and we learned a lot more of that close-in fight that we needed to do as we went into doors and windows in Afghanistan and Iraq. So I can feel your passion. I think that's a great organization, Resilient Warrior Foundation. Check them out. Donate if you can, or pass the word on to a veteran that needs it. Brent?
Yeah.
I want to ask you one more question, and then we'll get into your points of contact.
Send it.
If you can give 3 pieces of advice to anyone, not just veterans, anyone, to be better in every day, what would that be?
Wow, that's an awesome question. I've been doing a few podcasts lately. That's about the best question I've got. I don't know if I should say that live on camera, because the other podcasts might see that.
What?
I'm going to try to, I can't take that back. So, all right, whatever. This nation's leading the way. Take notice, everyone. 3 things to be better in life. Number 1 would be check who you're hanging out with. Write down the 5 names of the people you spend the most time with. Find the person that's the most negative, that crab in the bucket that every time you get a win, they want to pull you down. And then put a check next to the person who's the most positive, who celebrates your wins, who genuinely and honestly wants you to be better, and start spending more time with that person. And then find someone new that's doing what you want to do at a high level and who has what you want, do whatever you need to do. Send emails, offer to take them out to lunch, offer to take them out for coffee, be around them, find out what makes them tick and try to get them involved in your circle of influence. And if you have those people in your five, just like Meet the Fockers, are you in the circle or are you out of the circle? Number two would be, again, everyone has their own ideas on what success is. For me, it's not all about what's in your bank account. There's so many more things that equal success. But I would say the number two thing is really check yourself, your physical, your finances, your family, your friends, checking all those things and seeing, are you really operating at a high enough standard that you're happy with? You know, if you take like the four F's, like the fitness, the family, the faith, and the finances, are you operating at a 7 out of 10 or higher? And you got plenty of people that are making a shit ton of money and they maybe have good fitness, but their faith is terrible and their family life is terrible. So my advice for people is try to be, in jujitsu terms, at least a purple belt, at least a 6 or higher in all those areas. And if you can do that and have balance, the super, super uber successful people that I see seem to have one thing in common besides those morning routines. And that's that balance in those four areas. And then I know it sounds crazy, but one thing that people don't do enough of is drink water. I know people that don't drink any water any day. I know people that drink 3 or 4 Dr. Peppers or 3 or 4 Red Bulls or 3 or 4 Mountain Dews, and they'll have coffee and they'll have Mocha Laca, Choca. I don't even know half the shit that's out there. But how much water do you drink? Shoot for a 0.5 gallon to 1 gallon a day. And if you start doing that, you'll notice things start cleaning out. Even if you're already fit, that right there is a big game changer. So, you kind of put me on the spot. So that's the best I got for you right now.
That's awesome, bro. That was awesome.
I appreciate it.
Cuff. I like it. I like how you dug deep and got all those answers out there. And Misfit Nation, I hope you heed that advice he just gave you. Brent, how does someone get in contact with you to either go to the Roger Up event or have you speak for them with them on their show or even get involved with RWF?
Yeah, so ResilientWarriorFoundation.org is the website. Go there, check it out. All of our information is on there, as well as the Facebook page. You guys can easily get a hold of me through that. If you need any information on me as far as a speaker goes, you can go to Eagle Rise Speaker Bureau. I'm on there along with a bunch of other fantastic speakers. But if you go there, just ask to hire me or Jason Redman, but everyone else is great. And as far as the Roger Up event goes, rogerupevent.com, September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And for all of you law enforcement, fire, military, and veterans, we have a 30% discount. So that's off of a $997 ticket. So for 2.5 days, for less than $700, you can come to this incredible event. And when I say we have pipe hitters, I mean, we've got pipe hitters. We've got William Bronham, 26-year retired senior chief from the SEAL teams, spent the last 10 years as the head sniper instructor for the Navy SEAL sniper program. We've got Byron Rogers, probably the biggest name in the executive protection world right now. Inez Barberio, who's been on all kinds of talk shows talking about emotional intelligence, former LEO, current firefighters. We've got Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, black belt world champions, all kinds of amazing speakers. We're really going to bring the fire. And I hope you guys can make the event. And and then the book Roger Up's on Amazon, paperback or ebook.
Awesome, Brent. Thanks. Thanks for taking some of your time today. I know you had a long day at work and took some of your time to share your story and everything you're doing, which is awesome, with the Misfit Nation.
It was a fun day at work. We put about 600 rounds downrange, so that's it was good. His finger's a little sore, but that's what it's all about. Consistency and repetition. So I want to say thank you very much. I know we've had to reschedule a few times. I love what you're doing. And I think it's a cool name. One of the coolest names I've seen on a podcast, the Misfit Nation. And I'm happy to meet another misfit. And much, much success to you. And if there's ever anything I can do to help you or your podcast or any of your viewers, you can personally email me at brentmagnuson@gmail.com. Or just go to the Resilient Warrior Foundation website and you'll find me there as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you, sir.
Pour me another drink. 'Cause I don't want to feel a thing no more, hell no. I just want to sip it till the pain wears off. Pour me another round. Line them up and knock them down. Two more, let's go. 'Cause I ain't never heard like this before. Don't want to think about her. I wear a ring without her. Don't want to hit the karaoke bar. Can't sing without her. So make them drink strong. 'Cause brother, she's gone. And if I'm ever gonna move on, I'ma need some whiskey glasses. 'Cause I don't wanna see the truth. She's probably making out on the couch right now with someone new. Yeah, I'ma need some whiskey glasses if I'm gonna make it through. If I'ma be single, I'ma need a double shot of that heartbreak proof and see the world. Sing without her, so make them drink strong. 'Cause brother, she's gone. And if I'm ever gonna move on, I'ma need some whiskey glasses. 'Cause I don't wanna see the truth. She's probably making out on the couch right now with someone. Knock 'em back, knock 'em back, knock 'em back. Fill 'em up, fill 'em up, fill 'em up, fill 'em up. 'Cause if she ain't ever coming back, line 'em up, line 'em up, line 'em up, line 'em up. Knock 'em back, knock 'em back, knock 'em back, knock 'em back. Fill 'em up, fill 'em up, fill 'em up, fill 'em up. 'Cause if she ain't ever coming back, I'ma need some whiskey glasses. 'Cause I don't wanna see the truth.
You know how we do this. Thanks for taking some of your time to spend with us on
Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation.
Be sure to hit that subscribe button and share the link as much as possible. If you want to, please become a supporter to help us carry this thing on. We appreciate you. If you know someone that brings that energy, has a great story, is an up-and-comer in any industry of music, in the arts, have them reach out to us on themisfitnation.com. We will get back to them within one day and get them on here so they can share their story with the world. As always, till next time, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are
Misfit Nation.